Appreciate the things that we've heard this afternoon and in the entire weekend. I say weekend, Thursday night, Friday night, and this morning. Certainly enjoyed those things. Brother Carl has a way, doesn't he, of painting a picture for you, bringing the scriptures where you can actually see what's going on. And I'll say I think all of us preachers don't have that talent, Brother Carl, and I certainly appreciate that. In you. So I hope you'll continue to be in prayer this afternoon. I hope the things that, I think the things that I've got on my mind really tie in with the things that Brother Carl, and me and Brother Carl kind of, through Brother Matt, had talked a little bit before being here this weekend, but really not. I had some idea of what the Lord placed upon my mind and was placing upon my mind in coming here, but didn't know exactly what he would be preaching, which each time he would come forth and how we would work together. And so I say all that to say I marvel in the Lord, okay? Every time, he causes us to marvel. I want to carry forward with this two or three points, and I don't know how long it will take me to maybe hit the things that I've been thinking about and meditating upon and things that have come to my mind. I know one of the things that I want to try to do at some point is to go back again to one of the same verses he used, and that's Proverbs 22:6, and take a little bit of thought upon that line. But before we go there, I want to make 2 points out of a verse of scripture that probably you may have thought of it this way before, and maybe not. But in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. There's a verse of scripture there. First of all, I think it says, remember them which have the rule over you, which have spoken the word of God, whose faith follow, consider the end of their conversation. I think, and particularly looking at that portion of scripture, I understand particularly it's talking to the ministry and for us to remember them which God has given the rule over us. But I find in the scripture that God has given the rule to the parents in the home. And if we follow this thinking on down through Hebrews 13 a little bit further, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, if you take that and apply that into the home, and I can tell you, God has given the rule of the home to the parents. Parents, you can shun it off, shuck it off, palm it off, whatever you want to do. God holds you accountable. Amen. Right. Bottom line, you're responsible. God, the fruit of the womb is the gift of the Lord, and now you're accountable for that fruit and what you do with it and how you aim it and how you train it. And remember, and you will have to, the children don't want to hear this a lot of times, but you're doing all of that because you're watching for their souls. Now, we're not talking eternal applications here. We're talking about right here and now, in the nasty now and now, that we're watching after your good. And the reason we're doing that is because we see you traveling down a path that we've already traveled down. We've been there. Been there, made the mistakes, got the t-shirts, the caps, the ribbons, all the things that go with it. And we don't say that to say, hey, look at the trouble I got into when I was young, and boy, look at all the, I think you ought to be doing the same thing. No, we're saying we did that, we made the mistakes, we're warning you, you don't have to do the same thing that we did. You can learn from my experience. I remember Elder Sonny Piles years ago, for those of you that know him, telling the story. He said, people say experience is the best teacher. He said, I beg to differ with that. Experience can be the most effective teacher, But it doesn't have to be the best. How do you apply that? Well, I can tell you that if you take a nail in your hand and you go stick it in this electric socket over here, it's going to shock you. Now, experience will be very effective in following through with that message. But it might be best for you just to take my word for it. Believe it and believe I know what I'm talking about, and don't try it yourself. Okay? Obey them that have the rule over you. Now that's to the children. That's to the young folks. Remember, there's somebody that you're supposed to be obeying. For the parents, I think that verse of Scripture is saying, God's given you the rule. You're supposed to be ruling. You're supposed to be reigning over that and teaching and following through. So, Brother Carl mentioned, about hitting the target. And I follow him. I hope you do too. Every child is different. My children are different. Right? Brother Carl's mentioned his three boys and his daughter. Some of you in the congregation know my children. Two girls and a son. They're different. Derek was here last night. Laura was here last night and here again today. Emily's not here today. She's got the grandbaby. Yeah. Her and Brother Adam have got the grandchild. He's sharp, by the way. good kid so far. They were all three different. In training our children, whether it was involved with discipline or whatever it might be, Laura had to be disciplined, and it had, you had to put the hand to the plow, take things, whatever you needed to do. Emily was a little different. I could look at Emily. Emily would cry when I looked at her. Now maybe it's because I was so ugly. I don't know. But all I had to do was look at her. Now maybe she was pulling the greatest con game on me in the world. I don't know. I think I do. She was so tender-hearted. All I had to do was look at her a lot of times. She just, oh, Daddy. Derek, it's a wonder Derek lived to be 21. That's right. I told him one day. I almost pulled Bill Cosby, Brother Carl. I told him one day he might not make it to graduate high school. And it wasn't because I was concerned about an accident other than the one me and him were going to have together. He tells me now, he remembers me standing in the kitchen. I probably had my finger pointed. That probably was wrong. That was wrong, but I probably had my finger up in his face about the time because, see, I'll blend some things together as I tell all this. My wife was a great helpmate. She would tell me somewhere along the time when I'm struggling, somewhere between 13 and 18 and 19 with him, but probably somewhere around 15, she told me one day, she said, she got me to the side in the bedroom where there wasn't nobody else there but me and her. She said, when you begin to raise your voice more than conversational tone with him, he shuts down and quits listening to you. Well, what I was doing wasn't working, so I listened to her. I found out I could become more effective by having a conversation with him, telling him some things. I tried to learn from that. Derek tells me, he said, I remember very well standing in the kitchen. He said it was about 9 months before I graduated from high school. And said, you looked at me and said, son, I've just got 9 months left. He said, I looked at you like, 9 months left of what? I said, I've just got 9 months left to have a real major impact on you and get you to listen to me to the point to where you believe and follow what I'm telling you. Because I know in 9 months from now you're graduating from high school. I know unless things change, you're probably going off to college. And I know my time to really have an impact and influence on you is fading away. He said, I remember that. He said, I remember that clearly because I was feeling the weight and the burden of the responsibility that I had to train up my child. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. That training... I want to get from going to this verse of Scripture. I think it complements and goes with what Brother Carl was talking about. One, that word old means maturity. It doesn't mean when they get to be 82, they're going to come back to the old church. It means when they get grown and mature, the training should be effective. So that when they do get mature, they'll not depart from the teaching. Training. I asked a young man here the other night, we were having a conversation in the kitchen. I'd leaned over to Brother Matt and I said, hey, does this young fellow play football? He said, no, he boxes. Or did at one time. So as we were having a conversation about some things, I asked him, what kind of training did you have to do in boxing? He said, pretty severe. I said, well, could you just do anything you wanted to do? He said, no, it's a pretty strict regimen about what you've got to go through to learn how to kick, train, do whatever you're doing properly. I'm not a boxer. I start to say, usually when I'm talking about this, and maybe I will, you know, sometimes I talk about football. I might know a little bit of something about that. In a little school in Mississippi, they'd let little folks like me play. But I know something about training. Doesn't matter whether you're training in the army, whether you're training a bird dog, whether you're training for a sport. You can't train them one way today and another way tomorrow and expect them to know what you want. You got to train them the same way every day, every moment of the day, so that they learn the right way. And if the Lord is going to build the house, my friends, there's just one way. There's just one way. We can't read the modern book, the modern terminology, and go with their way of training up a child. You have to go back to God's way of training up the child. And the rule and the responsibility for that falls with the parents. And you have to be consistent. You can't get tired of it. You can't say, well, I'm going to take a break today from training and just let little Johnny run wild in the house today. No, that means it's going to take 3 days to get him back to where he was. You'll spend more time trying to outdo the one day that you let him go than you would have if you'd have just stayed consistent. You say, well, it's hard. I know it's hard. I've done it. I've made the mistakes. We've made the mistakes along the way. You have to be consistent with it. And you have to have a goal in mind. Does no good to train. They may all be different. They all may land in different spots, a little bit different spots in life. But I think from the Word of God, I can tell you that there's some things that all of them have to be taught. Because the goal is maturity. Let's turn over to Ephesians. I'm going to take a spiritual example in the Scripture and I'm going to apply this back to children. But I think it applies correctly if we think about it. let's look here at what the Lord tells us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Some of you Bible scholars know where I'm going. But he says in here, verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What did he give these gifts for? For the perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting means completion or maturity. He gave these gifts to the church for the perfecting, for the maturity of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gave parents children for the maturing of the children and to train them up in the way that they should go. All right? That was a job he's given to us. Now listen, keep with this. Till we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, mature, complete, unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, if you can't get the picture of that, what he's saying, he wants us to become a measure of the stature of the fullness. Imagine Christ being, imagine something big like the Statue of Liberty, okay? Maybe that's just a visual picture for you. And what he wants us to do is all become little statues. He wants us to become a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, as children, as training up our children, he wants us to also train them up, become a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and in the ways that they should go. All right? So the goal is to teach children to be mature. Well, okay, Brother Charles, they're going to mature. Well, I've known some people in their 40s, maybe in their 50s. They hadn't matured. They still acted like an 18-year-old. And I'm not talking about thinking like an 18-year-old, Brother Carl, but some of us still think like that. Yeah, I know that's hard for some of the young folks to believe. But I'm talking about acting like an 18-year-old. I worked with a guy like that. And I'm thinking, what happened to him? He never, he's lost over there in what's the guy in the Disney movie? Never grow up, never grow up, never grow up. Huh? Peter Pan, yeah. He never grew up. He never grew up. And I'm thinking, somebody didn't do the job. Somebody missed. He was pointed, that arrow was pointed back this way. He regressed somewhere along the way. Well, what does it mean? Okay. So what does it mean for children? It sounds real neat, right? Say, well, the goal is maturity. But if you don't know what maturity is, how are you going to get them there? The old saying, if you don't know where you're going, any road will do. Any road will get you there. I can leave here if I could do all the driving, or maybe if we could have a plane, Brother Matt. Yeah, I could get in here, and for those of us that know that Dallas is west of here, but I could get in a plane if I could get all the gas and I could make all the stops. I could actually head toward Atlanta and toward England and toward Europe, and I could get to Dallas. But it's a long way to go to get there. See, if you don't know where you're going, any road will do. But if you want to take the shortest way there, right? It's always, that's the reason it's good to have somebody else to talk to. Again, I'll tell an Elder Sonny Pyle's story. He was raised up, if any of you know about Brother Sonny, he was raised up in a fairly unusual home family life. And so he didn't actually get a good example from his father about how to be a father and how to help train children. So he started preaching when he was about 18. He would go off around the country and he'd see families that had children that were well-behaved and well-dressed and clean and conducted themselves, and he'd get around to the side somewhere eventually and he would ask them, "What did you do?" And so he's up in the state of Tennessee one time preaching, and there's a fellow that had about 8 or 9 kids. They're all well-dressed After the church services are over, he's sitting out on the porch talking to the man about what he did. So how did you get it to be like this? He said, well, Brother Sonny, you got to get the bluff in on them while they're young. Now, what do you mean by that, Brother Charles? What did that man mean by that? They got to believe that when you tell them something, you mean it. And you've got to mean it if you're going to say it. If you tell them there's going to be some discipline coming or they can't do something, you've got to back it up by doing what you say you're going to do. And so that the next time you have to tell them, I'm going to do this, they believe you're going to do it. And you've got the bluff in on them. They now believe you will do exactly what you say. And you have to be willing to follow through or don't say it. Okay? If you're not willing to do it, don't go threatening. They learn a threat. They learn to ignore that. If you've got to count to three instead of one, I mean, you're just wasting your time and theirs. Okay? They know one and two mean nothing. That's what they know. Train up a child in the way that he'll go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. It takes every day. Pro athletes don't get to be pro athletes in major NFL, NBA, whatever, skiing, whatever, what other kind of sports you... They don't get to be a world-class athlete without dedicating themselves daily to doing it. And specific kinds of training, so for their muscles, for their mentality, how they think about it, all of it is trained. And also, when we get the idea of what it means to train a child, it doesn't mean something you just kind of slough off and do one day and maybe not another. It's something we dedicate ourselves to. All right? And you want to know, okay, where did our families go? Right? I mean, that's kind of the question. What's happened to our families? We haven't taken training our children serious. What's wrong with the families? What's wrong with the children of today? The parents of today. They're afraid they're going to be called, you know. Today, I can tell you my 25-year-old son and me are friends. He wasn't my friend when he was eight and 10 and 13. He wasn't my buddy. He was my son. And that's exactly what he was supposed to be. There was a time... So how do you train them, all right? Two or three things we need to be thinking about. One, your goal is maturity, and maturity means temperance or self-control. Children need to learn how to say no to themselves, to the right things or the wrong things. Depends on how you want to look at that. They need to learn to be able, they need to be trained to know when to say no so that you don't have to say no for them. But if you do have to say no for them, you're still willing to do it, as the brother said earlier. You've got to know what decisions they're capable of making. Parents make a great mistake today by trying to let their children make decisions, greater decisions than they're capable of making at the wrong time. When our children are little, you don't need to be asking them, what do you want for supper? You need to fix them supper, tell them, here's what we got tonight. Amen. All right? They're not capable of making a good, wise decision. They don't need to decide what they're going to wear. I'm talking, y'all follow, they'll never see this on the recording, Brother Matt. But when they're little, they're not capable of making those decisions. You pick it out, put it on them, here we go. As they get older, you give them options. But you don't let them pick out whatever they want. You go to the store and you buy the options, or maybe you give them the options. You know what's appropriate and what's not appropriate for them to wear. You know what colors might look good, what colors might not look good. And you say, Susie, you can choose between this one and this one. You're training them on how to make good decisions. That's our job. God gave us that job. We need to learn how to do that. They're little. Don't need to be asking. A little bit older. A little bit, you know, whatever age that is. As they begin to give them options. Because one of these days you're going to turn them loose. And you want them to be able to make wise decisions. So you've got to train them to make wise decisions. And that's, it's not just clothes, it's not just food, it's a vast multitude of other things that you know, all of you know, I know, but it's our job to train them in how to make those wise decisions. So we've got a job. Their job is to learn to accept our authority. You better start that young. They need to learn young that you said it, you expect a response. Derek's going to love this if he listens to this at some point in time. Parents, sometimes we don't make our expectations clear enough. it was garbage day was next day, right? Garbage can needs to be carried out. By the way, what we're talking about here is teaching them responsibility, decision making and responsibility. Garbage runs the next day, the son's there, and I'm like, hey, when you get a chance, take that garbage can, needs to go down the street. First break of whatever it was he was doing or watching or whatever at the time came, my expectation was that was the chance. Because I expected it to be followed, my instructions to be followed fairly soon. His expectation was that meant sometime between then and bedtime. Way before bedtime came, Dad was frustrated because I'd given instructions that weren't being followed. The only problem is Dad didn't make them clear enough. I should have said, get up now. I should have said, next time there's a break in that show, I expect you to carry that on down. You've got plenty of time. I didn't make it clear. We've got to be clear in our instructions to our children. Okay. Self-control, temperance, responsibility. What's the goals? Maturity, self-control, temperance, Bible word, learning to be. I'll pitch this in real quick. For those of you who want to know, in the 20s, they had the temperance movement. They passed a law for temperance, which meant they were going to control alcoholic, you know, make it illegal to drink alcohol. What they found was they passed a law to enforce temperance, which is by definition is self-control. Makes no sense. It didn't work, by the way, either. Right? They ended up having to repeal the law and so forth because people need to learn self-control on things like that. Okay? So we want maturity. We want to teach them how to make good decisions. We want to teach responsibility. That means around the house, expect them to do some things. Expect them to clean up their room. Train them how to clean up their room. Teach them where to put things up and how it's to be done. And the first time they don't do it like you expect them to do it, don't go in there and rescue them. Ask them to do it again. Tell them again what the standard is, what you expect. Now, I understand when they're 2 years old, they're not going to be running the vacuum cleaner, okay? But I'm just saying, you need to, as they're age appropriate, you can teach them how to take responsibility around the house, and they'll learn how to follow the rules. Because one of these days they're going to be working for somebody, they're going to be in school, they've got a school teacher that's going to say, sit down, and you don't want your child saying, I don't have to sit down. I don't sit down at home, my mama don't make me sit down. training at home on how to follow directions and instructions. And you know what? It'll be to your benefit, be to the parents' benefit, and do I need to say, to the world and the country's benefit. Right? It'll carry over, and let's go ahead and say, and it'll be to the church's benefit. Because one of the chief things we need to teach them is a healthy, reverential fear of the Lord. We're going to teach them respect. We're going to teach them responsibility. Let's turn over to Ecclesiastes. And this may be one of the last places I'll go. I know y'all have been very patient and very attentive and very caring. I don't need to wear y'all out any more than you are. Vanity of vanities. Saith the preacher, all is vanity. What had he done? He had looked out back over his life. We were talking earlier about wisdom, experience, the best teachers and so forth. Solomon was made, given the wisdom that, of the wisest man that ever lived on the face of the earth. And instead of taking that wisdom and applying it like he should have, and like he did early in his time that God had given that to him, he set out to know everything by experience. So he tried all types of women, all types of wine, all types of wives, all types of concubines, all those things, and when he looked back over all that experience, he said, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. It was all a waste of time. Can you imagine what Solomon could have been? So the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even the words of truth, the words of the wise, are as goads and as nails fastened by master assemblies. Which are given from one shepherd, and further by these, my son, be admonished. Of the making of many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What is that fear? Are we supposed to be running around scared all the time? No. We're to have a respect for God that when we read what His Word and are told what His Word says, we said, that's the Word of God. We need to be following that. Whether it's raising up our children or training them up or whatever it might be, that's what the Word of God says. End of discussion. Let's do it. And children need to be taught to respect their parents. And parents need to be operating under the authority of their head, which is Christ, and the Word of God, so that when they tell the children something, they don't even have to question. Is this, you know, they shouldn't be questioning. They should say, Dad, Mom said to do that. They're looking out for my, they're watching for my soul. I better get busy with that. one of the biggest harms? I think one of the biggest harms that faces all of us today is who our friends are. Young people, your friends, well, I'm trying to help them, Brother Charles. I see they've got a problem, my friend has a problem, so I'm going to help them, right? They will drag you down. They will bring you down. They will drag you down. Had some friends when I was young. They were not a good influence on me. I realized the influence they were having on me, or somewhat did, you know, and I realized they weren't really maybe my friends. One particular guy comes to mind, and I realized that a lot of times when he and I were going and doing things together, I was calling him. So I decided one day, I said, well, I'm going to wait and see if he calls me. Let's see, that was about 1976, Brother Carl. I'm still waiting for the phone call. I didn't have a friend. I had somebody I hung around with. And he was not doing me good, and he was not doing me a favor hanging around with him. But for my betterment, to cross that one off my list. Decision making, responsibility. Parents, children, parents sometimes will look who you're hanging around with. They know better than you do that that's a bad influence. We have to be smart enough to steer them away from those things. That's our job given to us by God. That's our job. You say, well, it'll make them mad. They will get over it. And they might live long enough to thank you for it. Train them up to maturity, self-control, respect. I got one more thing. Respect. You know when children are talking back to their parents, when you've given them instruction and they're questioning that, and they're sassing, it's the only word I know to give you, Brother Carl, they're not showing you respect. Recognize that's a lack of respect and stop it right then when they're little. Work it all the way up. You say, well, Brother Charles, that's a lot of stuff to remember. We've all messed it up and come back and straighten some things out. I hope you remember two or three things out of what I've told you and what the Word of God teaches us about training them up. And if you'll do that, work on that, keep working on that, call up a friend. Call up Brother Carl. Call me up. I don't care. I live down in Jasper. Call. Have Brother Matt call. Say, well, I remember you saying something up there. What was it? If I can remember it, I'll tell you. We've got to help each other out. That's what the household of God is for. We're family here together, aren't we? If we're a family and I see a family member having a problem, I want to help them. And if I see I've got a problem and I know somebody, I say, you know what? He said it the other night. They built that corner right. They built that corner right. They've seen this other family seems to have that corner right. Call them up and learn how they built it and how they did it. Don't reinvent the wheel. Find somebody to guide you toward the things of the Word of God and build the house God's way. May God bless you is my prayer.